listening to the Daily Roundup here as part of the Reality Steve podcast. I'm your host, Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in. A good Thursday show for you. We're going to talk about who the weekly guest is on the weekly podcast. It's a debut for somebody on a show that I have never had anyone from this show on before. There is a breakup in Bachelor Nation, unfortunately. Survivor last night was one of the more bizarre episodes I think we've ever seen. I don't even know how to explain it, but we're going to try. Patty Stanger and Nick Vial's show debuted last week. I just got around to looking at the ratings for it. There was a show that came out on Netflix yesterday, that's been around a few seasons, and we're going to discuss it very briefly. And then I saw a headline revolving around Kristen Cavallari that I want to get my thoughts on. And we'll get to all that momentarily. So the weekly podcast guest coming up in a couple hours is a woman by the name of Brooke Wyman. She was on Farmer Wants a Wife this season. She was eliminated last week. She was part of Ty's Farm. And I wanted to get someone on from that show. I had reached out to Brooke because it sounded like she had a pretty interesting story. And she was very excited. I think you're really going to like her. And if you've been watching Farmer Wants a Wife, like I said, I've covered it all season. It's pretty entertaining. You know, I'm not saying that these people aren't going on for ulterior motives. We all know that, you know, people want to get some sort of brand going and stuff like that. And I'm not saying it's any more sincere or insincere than The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. But I think they at least try to mask the whole here for the wrong reasons, although they did have a couple storylines with a couple women that were looking and side-eyeing other women that were part of their farm and are just like, she's not here for the right reasons. But I wanted to talk to Brooke because she was on Ty's Farm. And Ty's probably the farmer this season that I've heard the most about off-air. And, you know, we don't go into spoilers or anything like that. Ty's only got two women left, Megan and Melody. I have no idea who he chooses. We don't even get into that because, one, she's not allowed to talk about it. And, two, I don't want to know. My guess is Megan, but I have no clue because I don't even know if all, like, I didn't even watch season one, so I don't even know if the farmers have to pick somebody or at the end they could just choose not to, or even the woman, whoever the final woman is, can choose to not, I don't know, continue dating, because I don't think this show's grand prize at the end is the farmer proposing. I highly doubt that's the case. So, but we talk to Brooke, introduce you to her, gives us a backstory of what she's done in her life, how she got on the show, stuff like that. So that's coming up in a couple hours. So be on the lookout for that. And that is podcast number, what is it, 3? Oh, geesh. Where are we at now with our podcasts? Sometimes I have this ready to go and sometimes I don't. 387. So she's podcast number 387. Now, moving on to Bachelor Nation news. It had been rumored and speculated for a while. I don't follow either of them on Instagram, but I've had plenty of people. Once I get enough of you messaging me asking, hey, are so-and-so still dating? Are so-and-so still together? Usually that means they're not, because it means they haven't posted in a while, because why else would you come to me and ask, are they still together? Because usually that's what precludes a breakup, is less and less, if not no posting whatsoever with each other. And once I started getting emails in the last month or so, then I would go check their account and be like, oh, yeah, they haven't posted since this date. Probably means we're headed for a breakup. And seemingly that's what's happened with Greg Grippo and Victoria Fuller. You know, breakups aren't fun. We know this. But neither of them have released any sort of statement about it either. Doesn't mean they're not broken up. It just means, like, maybe they're just not even going to address it. Because I remember, if I'm not mistaken, when Victoria Fuller started dating Chris Soules, when they broke up, there was no sort of joint statement. I guess Victoria just isn't into the whole let everybody know that we're broken up. I'm just going to, you know, get broken up either with or do the breaking up and just not talk about it, which is probably a smarter route to go than to leave statements. Because the statements, for the most part, when it comes to Bachelor Nation breakups, the statements are all kind of the same. Please respect our privacy. And then there's always something a month or two down the road where one of the couples or both of the couples start throwing daggers at each other. So it's just like, okay, what happened to the statement where you wanted your privacy? And what happened to the statement where you respect each other and all this stuff? So maybe it's smart that they don't release a statement because it's just going to backfire against them when one, if not both of these parties are surely going to say stuff on podcasts about the other person. Speaking of podcasts, how long did Victoria Fuller's podcast last? Like, I remember when she launched her podcast, something about Saints or something. What was the name of that podcast? I just looked it up. It's Uncensored Saints. She started it on Valentine's Day of 2023. And look at that. It was titled for the first episode, Lover, featuring Greg Grippo. And then she had, let's see, total episodes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And that was it. See you later. Look, I have no idea what happened. Maybe the Gotham production studios that was part of the, the studio crew that put this thing on, maybe they went under. Maybe she had a contract for only 8 episodes. I'm not sure, but she only had 8 episodes. And to quit something after 8 episodes, like I said, maybe there was something more to this. Maybe funding for this podcast went away. I hope it was something out of her control, because giving up after 8 episodes, not really the greatest of looks. I knew it wasn't a lot. I actually thought it was less. I thought she did like 4 or 5, but she did 8. And she did 8 in a row. February 28th, March 7th, March 14th, March 21st, March 28th, April 4th. So she went 8 weeks in a row, and then it just went away. She never gave a final episode, as far as I know. I don't think in the last episode. She did say on April 4th's episode, in the episode description, it does say in the season finale. So I don't know why her quote-unquote season only lasted 8 episodes. I mean, I understand there are podcasts out there that do seasons and want to take a break. That's fine. To each their own. But when you first start off, you kind of need to build some momentum. You got to need to build an audience. And 8 episodes, just doing this as long as I have, that's not enough. You got to put in at least 15 to 20 episodes before I think you can take your first break. And after season 1, the season finale was April 4th last year. She hasn't done an episode since. So anybody asking, you know, what happened between her and Greg, I have no idea. And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't care. I'm not going to dig. And even if someone sends me something that they heard is the reason why they broke up, it's not going to be something that I cover. I try not to do that for any of these couples, you know. Yes, I haven't been the biggest fan of Victoria in the past, but that doesn't mean I'm going to go after her because she broke up with somebody. I don't know the reason. I haven't even been emailed any sort of reasons about them. The only thing I've been emailed is about, you know, in the last month, rumblings that are these two even still together? They never post about each other anymore. I'm like, okay, well, I guess they're not together then. And usually, you know, it's almost like clockwork. And I guess that's the downside of social media when you get in a new relationship, because most people in a new relationship, especially when it comes to Bachelor Nation or even reality TV people dating, do some sort of hard launch or even a soft launch. But the second you stop posting with that person, people are onto it. Because why would you stop posting? Most people that start dating and start posting are doing it because they want to engage their audience and they want to engage their fans. Well, the second you stop, the fans are going to have questions. And most of the time you're not stopping because, oh, we just decided that we don't want to do this anymore. No, usually it's because we're headed for a breakup. And I'm not saying it's the wrong thing to do to to post with your significant other when you start dating and when it becomes official. But just know the second it stops, like the people that I think are not headed for a breakup, I'm just saying Susie and Justin post so much, it's going to be very obvious when Susie and Justin, if they ever break up, I don't know, maybe they'll get married and stay married until one of them dies. But if they don't, they are going to be a very easy couple to figure out. They're not dating anymore because they post so much. Now, I actually like their content. I think it's funny. But because they're doing so much, the second we stop seeing them doing TikToks together or whatever, it's going to be really obvious if and when they break up. But yeah, Greg and Victoria are done. Neither of them have said anything. I think Victoria posted on Instagram yesterday, didn't mention any sort of breakup. But I give this maybe a month or two before one of them hits a podcast and maybe even starts a pod going on the podcast rounds to get their story out there, because I just don't see any way both of these two don't say a word on anybody's podcast about what happened in their relationship. I'd be stunned if neither of these two ever show up on a podcast. Going to talk a little Survivor from last night. If you haven't watched the episode, mute or fast forward. Just one of the more bizarre episodes. I shouldn't even say the whole episode. I mean, we're talking just the tribal council. Because out of nowhere, Q just decides to announce at the tribal council, I want everyone voting for me. Because I did something today that I felt changed the dynamic in the tribe, and I feel responsible for it, so vote me out. And he ended up getting exactly zero votes because everyone was like, what the hell was that all about? Now, I did read Jeff Probst's interview with Dalton Ross. That's on EW.com. And just reading between the lines of Jeff's interview, he can't give anything away of what's coming in future episodes. But he did say that he absolutely loves Q as a contestant, and he didn't think at all that this was a sort of quitting situation that we've dealt with past contestants. He said Q is great TV. He's the reason he's the most talked about guy this season. He's just Q, and kind of hinted at, well, maybe there was a method to his madness, and we'll find out why he did what he did in next week's episode. But the fact that Jeff was very coy and made it very clear this wasn't a quit like we've seen with past contestants not only makes me think Q had a plan in all this, it also makes me think Q goes very far in this game. I could see Q being in the final three. He's been that good. And I really do think the season is picking up, not just because of that wild-ass tribal council last night. I just really think it's picking up. People are starting to play. And I've said this before when it comes to Survivor. Even though I've seen every episode of every season, I'm terrible with the winner's edit. I'm just not very good at it. When I watch Bachelor and Bachelorette, even though I already know who the winner is for the most part, most of the time, you can see edits and you can see why people are edited a certain way and whatever. I'm terrible. If you were to ask me before last night's episode who I thought was possibly winning this thing because of their edit, I would have said Tevin. I thought he was getting a very positive edit, and he was actually very strategic in his gameplay. He was playing the game hard. It looked like he was kind of running things at a certain point, and then he gets ousted last night. So clearly, I have no good radar when it comes to Survivor edits and Survivor winner edits. I really thought it was Tevin. Now, if you ask me, I don't know who's going to win, but judging off the edits, I think Q gets very far. I don't think Ben does. I don't think Liz does. I don't think Venus does. Charlie, I could see. Tiff, I don't know. She's kind of an enigma to me right now. Hunter, is the comp beast. He might just get there because he's so good in comps and might just run a string of immunity wins. But his edit, number one, doesn't seem great. Not that he's getting a negative edit. He just hasn't gotten a lot of screen time. And I don't know how much of a strategist he is, a strategist that he is. Now, Q might get eliminated because he's over-strategizing. And whatever he pulled at Tribal last night might end up working against him. Maybe everyone might just turn on him and be like, that was so ridiculous. We have no idea where you're coming from. We can't trust you. You're gone. And maybe he's gone the next episode. But he's probably the most entertaining player to watch this season, for sure. Maria, I think Stealth could make Final Three. I think she's playing a really solid game. And those are the ones that jump out to me right now. Charlie, Maria, and Q. Could they make the final three? Yes, they're in that quote-unquote six alliance. But then again, so was Tevin going into last night, and now he's Gonzo. So, beats the hell out of me. But I'm really curious to see what happens with Q next week and how he explains what the hell he was doing at Tribal Council last night, just coming out of left field with that. So I'm sure you heard that Patty Stanger, who's been very popular in the dating world and has had numerous dating shows in the past, I think on TLC channel or whatever. I don't even know what channel, to be honest with you. I think it was TLC, but I could be wrong. She teamed up with Nick Viall to bring us the show called The Matchmaker, which is on Thursday nights on CW. I believe it's on right after Lovers and Liars, which episode 2 airs tonight. Go check that out. Now, if you want to stick around and watch The Matchmaker, you can. You would be one of very few that watched the premiere episode last week of The Matchmaker. I have all your Thursday ratings from last Thursday, and holy shit, you talk about nobody watching this show. I mean, nobody's watching this show. So last Thursday night, young Sheldon pretty much dominated the ratings. Almost twice as many viewers as the second most watched show on Thursday. The second most watched show was Ghost on CBS. So CBS seems to run Thursday night. Young Sheldon, 7.5 million viewers. Ghost got 6 million viewers. And then you're looking at 4 for So Help Me Todd and Law and Order. Elsbeth on CBS, Station 19 on ABC, Law and Order on NBC as well, 2.5. And Farmer Wants a Wife, who that Brooke was on, 1.75 million viewers. Next Level Chef, 1.82. And then the lowest rated show last Thursday night, Patty Stanger, The Matchmaker, series debut, first episode. Every single show on network TV last Thursday drew minimum 1.73 million viewers, except for Patty Stanger's show, which drew 300,000. 300,000 for a network show is terrible. And I know it's CW, and it's, you know, if you're ranking the networks, it's easily the fifth network, ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC, and then CW. I don't expect anything on the CW to outdraw anything on the big four. But 300,000 viewers? That's terrible. You know, we talk about the 18 to 49 demo, and 911 drew the most in the 18 to 49 demo with a 0.6. The Matchmaker drew a 0.03. Not 0.3, which would have been half of 911, which was the leader in the night. 0.03 in the 18 to 49 demo. 0.03 of the television sets that were on were watching The Matchmaker last Thursday night. So this is an absolute flop, and I'll just leave it at that. Moving on, a show debuted, it's been on Netflix for a while, but season, I don't even know what it is, 6 or 7 dropped yesterday, first 4 episodes of The Circle. And I only know this because I saw Bachelor Data's Instagram page, where she had the Instagram accounts and follower accounts for the contestants this year on The Circle. I watched one season of The Circle, and I don't even want to say season because I only watched the first two episodes, and I don't remember what season it was. Might have been three. I just don't know. But somebody had told me, oh, this show's pretty interesting. Go watch it. And I watched the first two episodes, and I literally was pulling my hair out. Because when I sit down and watch TV, I don't want to have to read the television screen. And The Circle is nothing but reading text messages between people that are texting each other from other rooms. And I was like, how is this show popular? I don't get it. It's way too... Who wants to read their television screen for an hour every episode? I'm sorry. No, not happening. So the one thing that I did notice about this season of The Circle because of Bachelor Data's Instagram post was the fact that one of the contestants this year is just an AI bot. It's not even a real person living in the room. It's an AI-generated individual that's going to respond and correspond with all these other people and just chat GPT them to get to death. I don't know. Or is it somebody controlling it? We don't really know. Anybody that watched it yesterday, maybe you have an idea and understanding. Like, do you think it's somebody behind the scenes that they're just not showing a physical person in the room and somebody's controlling it? Or do you think that these responses from the AI bot are just computer generated responses based on the conversations that are going? Either way, I'm not watching the show, but it is interesting that our first reality show has an AI bot running as one of the contestants. So, oh boy, where are we headed as a country? Finally, wanted to end with this. I saw this headline on Us Weekly, and I just thought it was interesting because I needed some more explanation. Exclusive. The Montana boys love K-Cav's children. Quote, we were kids not that long ago. Question. I know that Kristen Cavallari is dating one of these Montana boys. I guess they got famous on TikTok. One of them, I don't know, either she slid into his DM or he slid into hers, whatever. They contacted each other. They are now dating. She's a good 13 or 14 years older than him. I don't care about that. What I do care about is, who are these guys? Are they related? Are they all brothers? Or are there three friends from Montana? Are two of them related and one of them's a friend? What's the whole deal with the Montana boys? And when they say the Montana boys love K-Cav's children, do these guys go everywhere together? Do they have individual lives? I just think it's, I mean, Kristen and this guy started dating, what, a month, 2 months ago? And his buddies are already hanging around with her kids? I understand if he was hanging around with her kids. Clearly, that's part of the package deal if you're going to date Kristen Cavallari. You're going to meet her kids. Why are the other two boys in the Montana boys, by the way, it's boys with a Z, like they're fucking boys to men. Why are his boys meeting her kids? And I love the quote, we were kids not that long ago. Yeah, probably because Kristen's kids are closer in age to these guys than her boyfriend is to her. I mean, have we done the math here? Isn't he like fresh out of college? Isn't he 22? 23? And she's 37? How old is her oldest kid? If her oldest kid is 10, her oldest kid is closer in age to her boyfriend than he is to her. Hey, look, happens a lot in Hollywood. Older woman dating younger man, get it. This is a little bit younger, but whatever. She can do whatever she wants. Do I think these two, again, my favorite line, do I think these two are going to get married and stay married until one of them dies? No. They're having fun. She's having fun. So I just had questions about the Montana boys in general. Do they travel in a three-pack all the time? Do they do everything together? Are they brothers? Why can't they all live their own lives? Other than making TikToks together. I get that part. And why have his friends met her kids? Seemingly a lot. Considering they've already said, we love her children. That isn't after one meeting. unless I'm totally off and these and Kristen and this guy have been dating for 3 or 4 months, it seems like it was more recent than that. It seems like it was announced they've only been dating like 2 months. But maybe that was the public announcement and they were dating 2 or 3 months before that. So I could be wrong. I just thought the headline was funny. And they're talking about, hey, we were not kids that long ago. Yeah, we know. We're very well aware. Anyway, thank you all for listening. I really appreciate it. Follow me on Apple Podcasts. Rate and review if you can, but you got to hit play. Please do that because that's the way it counts as a download. Sports Daily will be up in an hour from now. Podcast number 387 with Brooke Wyman from Farmer Wants a Wife will be up in 2 hours from now. So thank you all for listening. Really appreciate it. And I will talk to you tomorrow. See you.